Our first reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 23 to 25. Now this comes as part of a discourse where Jesus is speaking to his followers. And he's speaking to his followers about difficult things. Difficult things, that is, for us to do. Things that should be obvious, yet things which are hard for us sometimes. So here is how he speaks to his followers. If you are about to place your gift on the altar, and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift to God. Before you are dragged into the court, make your friends with the person who has accused you of doing wrong. If you don't, you will be handed over to the judge and then to the officer who will put you in jail. And then Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. It's a bit of a trip down memory lane for me, this, because it's the passage that I preached my very first ever sermon from in the island of Lewis nearly 40 years ago now when I think about it. And there was a young lady from Glasgow there that day who had come up for a break in Lewis, who was in the congregation, who heard me. And we've been together ever since. Okay, so here is this reading. We are careful not to judge people by what they seem to be, though we once judged Christ in that way. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. And he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. What we mean is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to the people of this world. And he has given us the work of sharing his message about peace. We were sent to speak for Christ. And God is begging you to listen to our message. We speak for Christ and sincerely ask you to make peace with God. Christ never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that Christ could make us acceptable to God. Or so that Christ could reconcile us to God. Amen. May God bless to us that reading of his word. As I grow older, I think, I find services like this more and more poignant, more and more filled with meaning, because of the importance of remembering. Because I think sometimes in services like this, we're not just remembering those who died in a conflict. We are remembering all those who were in our lives too, and who are no longer physically present with us. We're remembering too, perhaps, the older we get, that one day, It will be us that they are remembering, because we will not be here physically. And so, in a sense, life for any and all of us is too short for us to hold anything within our lives that is contradictory to peace. And I want us for a few moments just to think about the theme, and this is a theme that was requested by a member of our congregation, the theme of reconciliation. I want us to put reconciliation in what we might call its theological context. And when we talk about a theological context, what I mean by that is, where does Jesus fit into it? How does Jesus fit into this? Well, if you go back to that passage that we read from 2 Corinthians, we see that Paul is telling us that through the cross, the one who had no sin died for us to make everything right. And so what we see in the cross is that God, despite everything that we are and who we are, has made everything right. What does that mean? We have offended God. Offended God deeply. Because God gave us a very precious gift. He gave us the gift of life. He gave us the gift of being able to express His image in our world. And we took that precious gift and we distorted it. We took that precious gift and we sinned away our lives and did everything that was opposite of what God wanted us to be. And we look across our world today and we see that in our world. Conflict upon conflict. This week has brought something else to our doorstep. And every week seems to bring something else to our doorstep. Evidence that people cannot live in peace. But that evidence isn't just something that is in our world in an international sense. We find it in office politics. We find it with the people that we try to work with, but find it very hard to work with. We find it not just with the people who are working alongside, but sometimes the people we're trying to help through the jobs that we do, perhaps. A lack of peace in people. And we then take it to our wider family circle. And we see the same thing happening. Members who are estranged from us, or people that we cannot get along with. And we take it right down to the very house we live in. And even those of us who live in our own find it very difficult to go on with ourselves sometimes. And into this situation, and this to me is the miracle of Christianity. This is a message that no other religion has. The miracle of Christianity is that the God that we have offended didn't come to us and say to us, sort this mess out, guys. He didn't sit round a table with us and say, how can we get this mess sorted out in your lives? What he did was this: in Christ, he came and he sorted the mess out that we were in. Because at the very heart, again, we go to this cross. And it's good that it's in our church, because at the very heart of what Christianity stands for is the cross of Christ. And at the heart of the cross of Christ is Christ saying, I am dying for you to put right the wrongs in your life so that you can be assured of forgiveness. He takes the initiative. And he comes through Jesus Christ. But he comes and he appeals to us as individuals, and he asks us as individuals to respond personally to him. And there is this one-to-one engagement that must take place where Jesus Christ comes personally to each one of us and stands before each one of us and says to each one of us, are you willing to accept Christ? Are you willing to receive forgiveness? Are you willing to take my offer of beginning again? And allowing me to come into your life through my Spirit and change and transform you from the inside out. Are you willing? Do you want this peace that I have to offer you? And then he gives us a challenge beyond that and says, well, if you're with me on this, if you're coming into this with me, I've got another job for you to do. I want you to share that message. You know, we were meeting as ministers the other day on Friday. I really tried very hard to get Friday as my day off and cataclysmically failed it in the process and then came up this ministers fraternal, 12 till 2. And I thought, I'll dog it, right? And then I thought, no, dog it, by the way, is a Glaswegian expression for not going, right? I'll not do that. I'll go. And I'm so glad I went. I'm so glad I went. Because round the table, one of the ministers just said, right, we're eating our lunch, finishing our lunch, and said, let's just look at the story of Jonah and what it has to say to us. And we had this wonderful time where somebody had to actually stop us talking. I know you find that difficult, right? Somebody had to stop us talking after about three quarters of an hour. But you know, some of the things that came out were so good. And one of the things that came out for me was the fact that, you remember how Jonah complains to God? He goes to the city of Nineveh and he tells the city of Nineveh all about God's gracious offer of forgiveness. And what happens? The whole city repents. The whole city just turns to God and repents. And then Jonah sits in the huff and says, I knew it. I just knew it. Right? These people turned, and they turned because you are a gracious and merciful God. That's the thing that we don't know as a church. That's the thing that we've forgotten as a church. We've forgotten that God has given us a message that can transform human hearts. Jonah saw it, we don't. Jonah saw that if he went out with this message from God, this offer of forgiveness, this offer of a new start, that people would turn to God. And they did. Just that he didn't like them. The Ninevites, who were his natural enemies, doing that. He had a hard lesson to learn. We don't see what Jonah sees. But there's our challenge. You know, there's our challenge, or else St. Margaret's dies. Our challenge is to take Christ into our community and to tell the story of the Jesus who died for the world and still loves it and still wants people to come to him and still wants their lives to be reconciled to him. We need to tell that story, folks. It's not enough to receive it and to know it for ourselves. And then finally, we have to live that story. And there's the hard part. A lot of people think that reconciliation is about somebody does wrong to you and you've got to try and forgive them. That is partly reconciliation. Right? Can you think of somebody like that who's done wrong to you? And that you need to forgive? Can you? Are you writing a list, perhaps, as I'm speaking? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? What's the point of remembering Sunday if we're not prepared to put into practice what reconciliation is all about? God has given us, through the sacrifice of hundreds of thousands of men and women, the opportunity of a new start, a new society, one that's different. The need for reconciliation so that war does not exist again. And that has to happen in societies. So what about those people that you have the chance to forgive, to be reconciled to? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? But you see, that's not the end of the story. Because that's not just what Jesus says. In fact, that's not even what Jesus says. What Jesus is saying is this. Do you know someone? Do you know someone who has something against you? Holds something against you? Unjustly. They need to come to you and ask for forgiveness. What does Jesus say? You take the initiative and go to them. Christians are peacemakers. They are reconcilers. They are people who need, not just when they're wrong to ask for forgiveness, but when they have been wrong, to take the initiative and go and put things right. And that's powerful. That's powerful. Our world will never change until the principles of Christ are put into practice. It can never change. But how can that world know what to do unless Christ Church lives it and teaches it? And where is it that people need to see the evidence of it? But in a living Christian community that lives out Christ in a way that honours him, even when that is supremely difficult, and does it in the places that are difficult. Because it is difficult in the office, and it is difficult at work, and it is difficult in places to be the kind of person that Christ wants you to be. But he never said it was going to be easy. Because for Christ, there was a painful personal cost to make that gap, to bridge that gap in order to bring peace between us and God. May we not forget those who laid down their lives for us ever. May we not forget the one who made the supreme sacrifice for us ever. But let us not just stop there. Let us just not make it words on a Sunday, but action every day of the week to make it real for us and indeed for others. Amen.